This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hi, this is Mary Grady from AvWeb, and today we're talking with Randall Fishman. He built the Electroflyer C. It's an electric-powered modified motor glider that he brought to Oshkosh last year, and it won a lot of awards and got a lot of attention. Before that, he built an electric-powered ultralight, and now he's working on a two-seat airplane that he hopes to develop as a kit plane for the experimental market and also eventually have it certified as an LSA. So, Randall, can you give us an update on how you're coming along with this project and what we can expect to see at Oshkosh in the next week or so?
Yeah, it's coming along very well. The motor's been mounted. The airframe's complete. It's going to be registered as an experimental aircraft, which is what you need to do right now to for electric and motors to be allowed to get your airworthiness certificate. We eventually hope to do it as an LSA, you know, a turnkey, ready-to-fly airplane. But we'll need that a rule change from the FAA, which we're hoping for. Anyway, I'm going to work on it some more right now, and I'd like to bring it to Oshkosh. It'll be ready to show, but we won't have done any flight testing yet, but that'll come right after Oshkosh.
And what are the characteristics of this airplane as far as its capabilities?
We're shooting for a cruise speed of 80 miles per hour, and we're hoping for a runtime of 2 hours. It has a lot of interesting features. It has flaperons, which allows a much wider speed range, lower lows, and a higher cruise speed efficiently. It's a big wingspan, 49 foot, but because of the flaperons, which can go negative, you can fly fairly quickly and efficiently, as well as land and take off very slowly. It's a tri-gear, it's good for taxiing around an airport, unlike most sailplanes or cell phone sailplanes, which you can't use at an airport. This one is made to use at airports. And it has a built-in charger, so you can charge wherever you are, and a 50-horsepower electric motor system.
Okay, so basically anywhere you land, you can just find an outlet and plug it in and recharge it. Is that right? And how long would it take?
That's correct. The charger is an auto-sensing charger where if you have a 220 outlet, charge pretty quickly. Probably about 3 hours for a full charge, or your normal kind of charge, about 2 hours, where you wouldn't have run the batteries all the way down before you start charging. And then if that 220 is not available, it can recharge with a 110, but it takes longer.
Okay. Now, would this airplane be possible to have it certified as an LSA if the FAA changes that rule about the engines, or is there any other, you know, things that would have to be modified?
No. The idea was to have it to be completely LSA specification except for the motor. I'm hoping to show the FAA guys, and once we're flying in maybe about a month, to take them for rides, show them what's possible, show them that an electric LSA could be a practical reality.
One question that has come up when people are talking about the advantages of these over other airplanes, I know there's no emissions from the airplane itself, but of course, if it's plugged into a grid, there's emissions from, you know, an electric plant somewhere. But I understand that, you know, the system itself is also way more efficient in other ways. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the reason I've heard the expression before, you know, moving the pollution from the tailpipe to the smokestack, which they're talking about what you were just saying about because you're plugging it in, and even you might be recharging with electricity made from coal or something like that. But they don't take into account with that is that we're using a tiny amount of electricity relative to a regular gas-powered engine. We're cruising on about 10 horsepower, so the overall energy used is so much less, about one-tenth flying the same distance with a regular airplane, that even if you recharge with a dirty producer of electricity, it's still a tiny carbon footprint. And if you recharge with something that's cleaner, or you have photocells on the roof of your hangar, then of course you would have no carbon footprint at all.
From a pilot's point of view, there are also other advantages to this, right, as far as noise and vibration and that kind of thing?
Yeah, yes. I was up recently with our test pilot, Joe Bennis, in his Cessna 172, which is a very good, dependable airplane. But boy, was that thing loud and vibrating. And it's not just that brand. I mean, that's just the nature of gasoline-powered airplanes. If you take off the headset, it's deafening. When you fly the electric airplane, it's almost silent. You hear a little bit of prop noise. Of course, at cruise, the tip speed is very low. The RPM is only going to be about 1,500 RPM at cruise, so their propeller is very quiet. The electric motor is almost silent. So it's a completely different experience. It's just whoosh, you know, which is so much nicer experience. And no vibration at all, zero vibration.
And are there any safety issues? You're using batteries, right? Are there any issues with those, having those aloft in the airplane?
Yeah, batteries we use the same thing as a cell phone, only it's a larger, thicker cells, which, you know, in a cell phone, they need to make it pretty looking, and they make them extremely thin. So, and we use them in the duty cycle, same type of duty cycle. If we're going to run them for 2 hours per charge, that's a very low discharge rate, so the batteries don't heat up. Something like the radio control aircraft, those fellows all think they're very dangerous. They use them very quickly, they recharge them while it's still hot, there's no air. It's still great for that, for radio control, but really lithium polymer batteries are not really meant to run that way. So we use them at a very slow discharge rate, we have a very high quality charger. And we do a couple of extra things just for ultimate safety. We push air through the battery packs when it's flying to keep them extremely cool. And in this airplane, they're packaged in stainless steel boxes. So it's ultimate security. If there ever was any kind of problem, they would provide complete safety for the pilot and passenger.
Wow. So what do you see as coming up next in this technology? I mean, are there breakthroughs on the horizon, or, you know, do you think that there's going to be a demand for these in the market? What do you see happening with this over the next few years?
Well, of course, we're all hoping for batteries with much more specific energy density, they call it, more power, more energy per weight, not more power, more energy storage in the same weight, which is what you need for airplanes to fly further and longer. Of course, now I'm of the opinion that we can use it right now. Our batteries are packed in four separate boxes, which you can charge in the airplane or take them at home if you want to store the plane for a long time. But the one of the advantages of that is, if we ever get the approved batteries, you can just replace those with the new batteries and get your longer runtime and everything. So I think we're in a state right now where it's, for an hour and a half, 2 hour flight, that's practical for a lot of people, the type of flying that sports flying that most people do. But of course, later on, we're hoping for improvement.
If you can get this regulation tweaked, you know, about making the electric motor eligible to be an LSA, what do you think would be the market price? Would it be comparable with other LSA aircraft that are out there?
Yes, I think it would be comparable. The batteries are expensive. The motors are much less expensive than replacing a 912 or 914 or a Lycoming or any of the kind of engines they use now. Those are quite expensive. So I think the purchase price would be slightly higher. And then, of course, it's quite expensive to keep your gasoline-powered aircraft engine running and certified, or you know, you have to get the updates and overhauls and, you know, the inspections. And it's pretty expensive. You really won't need any of that with electric motors. We're using a brushless AC electric motor, which is completely service-free, except just to check it over every couple of years. You know, it's just not going to cost anything to run that. So overall, I believe it would be less expensive to own an electric airplane than it would be to own a gas-powered aircraft.
Okay, so do you expect, when do you expect that kits for the airplane you're working on now, when would those be available in the market?
Well, we're gonna bring it to Oshkosh the end of next week and let everybody see it. They asked me to do a couple of forums on electric flight. And we're going to offer it as a home-built kit, which we'll be able to start pretty soon. We want to get all our flight testing in Probably September, I would think, we could start producing kits. As we were working up to this, we made sure that we'd be able to produce kits of this aircraft.
Now, when you talk about producing the kits, do you have a plan as far as where that will take place? I mean, who will be actually manufacturing the kits and that kind of thing?
Yes, we're working with a very excellent manufacturer. I met them through an aeronautical engineer who's been doing some of the calculations for the folks. I'm not ready to reveal who that is right now, just for business purposes. But they say they can do 2 kits a month. And, of course, it's been modified quite a bit, and some molds have been changed to accommodate our electric system. And the electric system will be all supplied here in the States from my company, Electric Aircraft Corp. And the kit will come with the all the propulsion equipment, the motor, the controller, the gauges. We use MFD multi-purpose panel for. Flight instruments and voltages and temperatures, so that'll come with it as well. It'll be all through my company, but all the arrangements have been made to build the actual kits, aircraft kits.
Okay, is there anything else you think that our AFWeb readers would need to know or that you have new to let us hear about?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping, I was very happy to receive the Lindbergh Aviation Grant in 2009 to help with this project. They thought it was, they liked the idea, so they're a little bit involved with it. And I'm hoping people come up to Oshkosh and take a look at it and see what they think. It's a very pretty aircraft, all composite, going for it as elegant a look as we could get. So I'm hoping people will agree.
Very good. Thanks. Well, we'll look for you there. And people who want to know more, I'm sure they can find you there on the flight line, or they can look up your forums on the EAA website. And we'll look forward to seeing you then.
Yes, we're going to be at the Aviation Learning Center in an indoor display, which is just west of the home built area and just east of the Honda Forum Pavilions.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Randall. We'll see you then.
Thank you, Mary. See you there.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.